We now present the Bible for the Day of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 209. 209 weeks of broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible. The phone number, if you'd like to call us, is 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. Call us if you have questions or comments. We'd like to hear from you. We're talking about the theological errors in the versions. It's BFT number 1845. Write us or call us. We'll tell you how you may receive your copy of this important document that tells the various theological errors in these versions. We're on page 13. We're talking about the errors in the versions concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Errors concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, especially on the deity of Christ. Some 54 verses, we've been talking about the removal of Lord. Some 14 verses that remove Lord and therefore take away, we believe, the full deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like more information about our materials or about our programs or about our ministries, write us for Why the Bible for Today. We'll send you our booklet concerning it, or a Bible for Today news report. Be glad to send you one of those. Or if you're interested in information on the Dean Burgon Society, write us for our Articles of Faith. We'd be glad to send you those. And the Dean Burgon News, the latest issue of that. We also have a brochure number one listing 701 titles that we carry favoring the King James Bible against the various modern versions and favoring the received Greek text and Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text. All right, back to our theological errors in the versions and talking about the deity of Christ, the removal of the word Lord. Take a look, for example, at 2 Timothy 4. And verse 1, 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, the King James Bible and the Greek text accurately says, I charge thee before God, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now, Aleph omits the word Lord, not the Lord Jesus Christ, but simply Jesus Christ. There is no B, there's no Vatican manuscript in 2 Timothy 4, but Aleph omits it, and so it takes away from the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and just simply says, Jesus Christ. And the New International Version follows B and, actually B and Aleph, no, but just simply Aleph, the Sinai manuscript, and removes Lord. The New American Standard Version removes Lord from 2 Timothy 4:1. The New Berkeley removes Lord from 2 Timothy 4:1. And so it's just before God and Jesus Christ. That's it. And so the removal of Lord, we believe, detracts from our Savior's deity. He is Kurios. He is Lord. He is Master of all the universe and Lord of the believer's life as well. Well, another example from Theological Errors of the Versions, we're on page 13, is Titus chapter 1 and verse 4. In Titus 1 and verse 4, the King James Bible accurately translates the Greek Textus Receptus to Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Well, there's no B or Vatican in Titus 1, but Aleph does remove the word Lord in Titus 1:4. Here again, it's not the God and Father of the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, but simply Jesus Christ, our Savior. And the New International Version removes Lord from Titus 1:4. The New American Standard Version removes Lord. The New King James Version and the footnotes remove Lord. And also the New Berkeley Version removes Lord from Titus 1 and verse 4. Now, my friend, we believe these removals are serious. We believe these removals are doctrinal. And we believe that they ought to be there in the King James Bible you can trust. You must distrust the modern versions. You can trust the King James Bible. Well, here's another and final verse, 14th verse, that takes away Lord in the doctrinal deviations. That's 2 John 1 and verse 3, where the King James Bible accurately translates the received Greek text, "Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." Well, B, Vatican Manuscript, removes again the Lord from 2 John 1, 3. And removing Lord takes away, again, we believe, the deity of Christ, Jesus Christ, but Lord. Now, the New International Version follows this and removes Lord from 2 John 1, 3. The New American Standard Version follows this. The New Berkeley Version follows it. Three of these modern versions remove Lord from 2 John 1, 3. We believe that this is a doctrinal deviation. We believe it's an important doctrinal error. And John MacArthur's man, Dr. Thomas, from Master's Seminary, when he says, no major doctrine of Scripture is affected by a variant reading or a different Greek reading, we believe that he is incorrect. We believe that major doctrines of Scripture, such as the deity of Christ, are affected by doctrinal or by deviations in the Greek readings. And we've shown 14 instances here from the deity of Christ removing the word Lord. All right, here's another section in regard to the deity of Christ. There are two verses that we'd like to talk about now on the removal of worship for Christ. It stands to reason, does it not, that if you do not worship the Lord Jesus, then perhaps he's not God. Perhaps he's not deity. Perhaps he should not be worshipped. Perhaps it would be idolatry to worship him. Well, in Luke 24 and verse 52, Luke 24:52, the King James Bible accurately translates the received Greek text, "And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy." And they worshipped him. Now the words worshipped him are removed by manuscript D, as in Delta, D. And this manuscript is an uncial. It's a capital letter manuscript that many of these Bible expositors favor, along with B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai. But this manuscript D removes worshipped him. And the New American Standard Version goes right along with it and removes it as well. And it simply says they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Now we believe that in the removal of the worship for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the true nature of these Greek texts, these manuscripts from Egypt, these manuscripts which are not correct and accurate, we believe the true nature comes out when they remove the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's another example of removing worship, and that's John 9:38. John 9:38, where the King James Bible accurately translates the received text, "And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him." Lord, I believe, he said, and he worshipped him. Now, Aleph, the Sinai manuscript, removes the entire verse, John 9:38, the whole verse, "And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him." Now, the removal by Aleph, or the Sinai manuscript, of the entire verse is an indication as to what, perhaps down the line, these new versions will change in John 9:38. To date, These new versions have not touched that. They've not followed Aleph or the Sinai manuscript. Perhaps they should. Down the line, they might, but they haven't as yet. And I suppose they don't want to make it too obvious to the believers that they are false manuscripts, heretical Greek manuscripts, and so they leave it. Now, B goes along with the verse, but Aleph is against it. And, of course, they follow B or the Vatican more than they do Aleph, and so perhaps that's the reason at the present time. But perhaps down the line they may remove it. All right, let's take a look at another area of the deity of Christ, the removal of the Son of God. The Son of God. Changing the Son of God. There are four verses we'd like to call your attention to on this. This is Dr. D.A. Waite speaking. We're talking on the Bible for Today of the Air. And we're at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. Our phone number, if you'd like to call us and ask us about some of these questions, 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. The removal of the Son of God, four verses, starting with Mark 1 and verse 1. Mark 1 and verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as the King James accurately translates the received text in the Greek language, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of God. And these words, the Son of God, are removed by Aleph, the Sinai manuscript. In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's it, period. No Son of God, but simply removes it. Aleph does. And the New American Standard Version, in a footnote, has a footnote on it saying some manuscripts omit it. That's the only one currently that makes a notation in regard to it. The document B or Vatican does have the Son of God as well as the Textus Receptus, but Aleph omits it. And the question is down the line whether or not the doctrinal deviation removing Jesus Christ as the Son of God will be followed by more of the modern versions. Dr. Thomas's statement that no major doctrine of Scripture is affected by a variant reading is simply wrong. A major doctrine of Scripture is affected. This is a variant reading between Aleph and B and some of the other manuscripts. The Son of God. Was Jesus Christ the Son of God or was he not? Well, in another second verse and question and removal of the Son of God is John 6:69. John 6:69 is properly translated by the King James Bible from the Textus Receptus, received Greek text, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. That Christ, the Son of the living God, is removed by both B and Aleph. B and Aleph take away the testimony of the disciples in John 6:69, where they say, we believe and are sure that thou art, and then the words, that Christ, the Son of the living God, and they're changed in B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai manuscripts, these two false Greek manuscripts. The words are changed to simply the Holy One of God. Not the Christ, the Son of the living God, but simply the Holy One of God. Now, would any of the versions take away the Son of the living God and Christ from John 6:69? Well, you look at them and see. Look at the New International Version. It's gone. It's changed. Look at the New American Standard Version. It's changed. The New King James Version footnotes. It's changed. The New Berkeley Version. It's changed. Not Christ, the Son of the living God, but simply the Holy One of God, the Holy One. And so we have a major doctrine of Scripture that is affected by a variant reading, and MacArthur's man, Dr. Thomas, is in error again. Variant readings do affect major doctrines of Scripture. Well, here's the third example of the treatment of the Son of God, and that is in John 9:35. John 9:35 says, in the Textus Receptus Greek and in the King James Bible, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. That is, this blind man, John 9:35. Jesus heard that they'd cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Dost thou believe in the Son of God? But that's not good enough for the heretical manuscripts B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai manuscripts, these Egyptian texts that were fraudulently made and changed and altered in so many ways and disfigured by heretics who were Arians and denied the deity of Christ and the virgin birth of Christ and the eternal sonship of Christ, and that were spirit Christologists. They were adoptionists. They did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was deity. And so they changed, dost thou believe in the Son of God, to dost thou believe in the Son of Man. The Son of Man. Not God, but man. And what do the new versions say? Well, all four of these that we've examined, the New International Version, changes it. Not the Son of God. God becomes man in New International Version. Do you want your preacher preaching from this type of a version? We don't. Changing God to man. New American Standard Version changes God to man. The New King James Footnotes changes God to man. The New Berkeley changes God to man. John 9:35. Check it out. Look at it. Discover it. This is a major doctrine of Scripture that is affected by a Greek variant textual reading. Well, there's a fourth and final one talking about the Lord Jesus as the Son of God, and that is Acts 8:37. Acts 8:37, B and Aleph omit the entire verse. The entire verse of Acts 8:37 is taken away. The King James Bible accurately renders it. The Textus Receptus Greek accurately has it. And Philip said, this is to the Ethiopian eunuch, you remember, that wanted to be baptized in water by immersion, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Here again, the Son of God is in that verse, Acts 8:37. But B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai Greek manuscripts that are worshipped by the modern scholars, so-called, completely remove Acts 8:37. This wonderful testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and the believers, the Ethiopian eunuch's trust in Christ, and the fact that you have to believe with all your heart that the Lord Jesus is your Savior before you can be baptized in water, this whole testimony is removed by heretical documents, B and Aleph. And Dr. Thomas' testimony, MacArthur's man in Master's Seminary, where he says no major doctrine of Scripture is affected by a variant reading, is absolutely false. Well, the New International Version removes the entire verse. The New American Standard Version brackets it. The New King James Version in the footnotes removes this verse, Acts 8:37. The New Berkeley doesn't touch it. But here is a removal of an entire verse, and especially that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, deity, removed, and the new texts and removed by B and Aleph, the Greek text. Well, we're on page 13 of Theological Errors of the Versions. Do you want to get your copy? Do you want to be able to follow along with us? Follow along the verses. Write us for number 1845. We'll tell you how you may receive your copy. Or call us at 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. All right, we come now to the removal of my father for simply the father. There are five verses that have to do with this. It affects, we believe, the deity of Christ. And we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ had a relationship to His Father, and He could call Him not simply the Father, but my Father. The first of the five verses is in John chapter 8 and verse 28. John 8:28. The King James Bible accurately renders this, and from the Greek Textus Receptus received text, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." As my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. A close relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. My Father. But that's not good enough for B and Aleph. The Vatican and Sinai Greek manuscripts, these so-called 4th century manuscripts that are worshipped by the modern scholars of today, including fundamentalists and including separatist scholars, B and Aleph wipe out the relationship of the Father to the Son and simply say, not my Father, but simply the Father, as the Father. Not my Father, but simply the Father. This is followed by a New International Version. This is followed by New American Standard Version and the New Berkeley Version. All three of these modern versions remove my Father in deference to the heretical, false B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai Greek manuscripts. Again, a doctrinal error, we believe, because of a Greek variant. Well, John 8:38, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. The first one apparently was John 8:28, and this is John 8:38. John 8:28, the one we said just before, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Now we come to John 8:38, 28 and 38. And the King James Bible accurately renders the received text, I speak, the Lord Jesus is saying here, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. Now, manuscript B, the Vatican manuscript, omits my Father in John 8:38, just like it did with John 8:28. Aleph has my Father, but B, the Vatican manuscript, says the Father, that I have seen with the Father. He doesn't know what Father. He doesn't identify himself with God the Father. He doesn't call Him my Father in a special, unique, intimate way that is alone reserved for the Lord Jesus, the Son of the living God. And so the Father is put in its place by B, the Vatican manuscript, and the New International Version changes it as well. Not my Father, but simply the Father. And the New Berkeley Version simply puts it the Father instead of my Father as well. And so the intimacy is gone by simply saying the Father. Do you want to just say anybody's Father? The Father picked me up. Well, I fell on my bike. My bike fell over and the Father picked me up. The Father of John, the Father of Bill, the Father of Susie, somebody else's Father, the Father picked me up. Was it the Father or was it the young boy that was there that picked you up when you fell off your bicycle? Well, if I say the Father picked me up, that means it wasn't the mother. It wasn't the mother that picked me up. There was a mother and a father that were there, but the Father picked me up. But if I say my Father picked me up, that possesses, my Father is my possession. He is my Father, my Dad. The one who brought me into the world with my mother and my Father is an intimate relationship and an intimate word of relationship that is necessary to identify which Father picked me up off the bike. And so this is not just simply a tempest in a teapot, as some have used that expression, but it is a valid picture of change Why would B and why would Aleph, either one of them, want to change my father into the father? Because they do not want to have an intimate relationship between the Father and the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, where he can say, my Father, my Father. Well, let's take a look at a third example in John 10, verse 32, John 10, 32, where the King James Bible accurately renders the received text. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father, for which of these works do ye stone me? He was sent from his Father, and he was accurately representing the words and the doctrines of God the Father, his Father. And now he says, I have showed you from my Father these various works. For which of them do you stone me? John 10:32. But B and Aleph do not want the relationship to be between Christ and my Father, but simply the Father. The Father. And the New International Version follows along. Just simply changes my Father to the Father. The New American Standard Version does the same. The New Berkeley does the same. And so these are differences that I believe have to do with doctrine, the intimacy of the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, and his Father, God the Father. My Father. Well, there's a fourth example, John 14, verse 28. John 14, 28. The King James Bible accurately renders the Greek received text, ye have heard how I said unto you, the Lord Jesus is speaking here, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And this last phrase, my Father is greater than I, by B and Aleph, is changed to the Father is greater than I. And in that same verse, I go to the Father, and as if to clarify which Father it is, he says, for my Father is greater than I. My Father. And it won't do to say, well, the Father is earlier in that verse, so let's keep the Father. No, the Lord Jesus goes beyond simply the Father and changes and makes it my Father. And the New International Version changes it to the Father, and the New American Standard Version, and the New Berkeley Version, following B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai Greek manuscripts, that do not want to have the full deity, the full relationship of the Lord Jesus to his Father. Well, a fifth verse, John 16, verse 10. John 16, verse 10. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of righteousness, John 16, 10, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. No, the B and Aleph change this to the Father, like they've done in other places. And not my Father, but simply the Father. Now, it could be the father of one of the disciples, the father of someone standing nearby. But the Father, when he says, my Father, and he only has one Father, Joseph was not the human father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was an adopted father, but he was not the Father in a generative sense. Joseph did not generate or beget the Lord Jesus Christ. He was eternally generated as God the Son, and the Holy Spirit and God the Father generated him, and it was true of the Lord Jesus Christ in a special sense to say that God was his Father. Not in the same sense that we say he is our Father, but the Father generated and produced in the Virgin Mary the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this, we believe, is a doctrine of Scripture. We believe it, just as clear as anything else, that the Lord Jesus Christ sustained a special and unique relationship with his Father, and therefore, my Father is important. And the New International Version, New American Standard Version, New Berkeley Version, and John 16:10 have followed B and Aleph in a wrong capacity and wrongly, and we disagree completely with them. And we believe that major doctrines of Scripture are affected by different Greek variant readings. And we differ from Dr. Thomas MacArthur's man on that particular point. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible. So long until next week. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 210. 210 weeks of broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society, in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence in the King James Bible. Our phone number, 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. Call us if you have questions or comments. We'd like to hear from you. We're talking about the theological errors in the new versions. Number 1845, write us or call us. We'll tell you how you may receive your copy of BFT number 1845, Theological Errors in the Versions. We're on page 14. We'd be glad to send you information on the Dean Burgon Society, its Articles of Faith, the Dean Burgon News. We'd like to send you also the Bible for Today News Report, a sample copy. We'd be glad to send you our brochure number 1, which lists 701 titles defending the King James Bible and the Textus Receptus and the Masoretic Hebrew traditional text. And if you'd like a catalog, our Bible for Today catalog, 74 large pages, write us. We'll tell you how you may receive the catalog of other materials, over 2,000 titles. All right, regarding the theological errors of the versions, we believe here at the Bible for Today and the Dean Burgon Society as well, we believe the King James Bible is the most accurate English translation in existence today. We have no exceptions. We do not believe that any other version is as accurate, is as superior as far as Hebrew text is concerned. No other modern version is superior as far as the Greek text is concerned. No modern version is superior as far as the translators are concerned and their abilities. No modern version is superior regarding the translation technique that has been used, the methods. And we do not believe any translation today is superior to the King James Bible as far as the theology. We believe that the versions have theological errors honeycombed throughout because of the fact that they rest heavily and strongly on false and heretical and theological error-ridden Greek texts, namely the Vatican manuscript, which is B, and the Sinai manuscript, which is Aleph. And because of these false Egyptian heretical manuscripts, doctrines are changed. We're now on page 14 of our Theological Errors of the Versions. Number 1845 is our document that we're using. We're talking about the deity of Christ. We come now in this broadcast to two verses that remove Father in connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, in Ephesians 3, in verse 14, King James Bible accurately translates the received Greek text, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And B and Aleph eliminate the last five words, "of our Lord Jesus Christ," and simply says, Paul is saying, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father," period. B and Aleph remove "of our Lord Jesus Christ." So does the New International Version remove "of our Lord Jesus Christ." So does the New American Standard Version. So does the New King James Version footnotes. So does the New Berkeley Version. Now, what is the connection between "I bow my knees unto the Father," period, and "or I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ"? The Father, God the Father, is in connection with and related to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the removal of the title of Christ in conjunction and connection and relation to the Father is a questioning and a denial and a soft peddling of this relationship of Father and Son, and certainly questions and removes the solid evidence for the deity of our Savior. To say that He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in special relationship and He's bowing His knees in prayer certainly elevates Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the place of deity. And, of course, eliminated it, it does not even speak of Christ in relation to His Father. We believe it's a major doctrine of Scripture, and we believe that Dr. Thomas is in error, MacArthur's man, in his seminary there in Los Angeles area, Master Seminary, when he said no major doctrine of Scripture is affected by a variant reading. We believe there's a variant reading here. B and Aleph read differently, and we believe it affects a doctrine of Scripture. All right, take another verse, Colossians 1 and verse 2, where Paul says, and this is from the received Greek text and accurately translated by our King James Bible, "to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Well, manuscript B, the Vatican manuscript, eliminates the last five words again of that verse, Colossians 1:2, and does not contain "and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, Aleph, the Sinai manuscript, contains it. But you remember, B, the Vatican manuscript, is generally followed first when there's a difference. And B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai Greek manuscripts, which are depended upon and trusted by the so-called scholarship of today, both liberal and apostate scholarship, as well as neo-evangelical scholarship, as well as fundamentalist and even separatist Baptist scholarship, B is followed, the Vatican, before Aleph, simply because the heretic Hort, in his introduction to the Greek New Testament, said, whenever B and Aleph differ, always follow B. Always follow B. B is it. Well, he's got B's in his bonnet as far as I'm concerned. He's a heretic, Hort was, and we don't agree with that at all. And the Vatican manuscript is B. And so I would like to reiterate to our audience, as we've done many times on the broadcast, that B and Aleph are in contradiction one to another. In the Gospels alone, according to Hermann Hoskier, in the Gospels alone, B and Aleph contradict one another over 3,000 times. It's documented over 900 pages, two volumes. Hermann Hoskier compares Codex B and its allies. There are only about 45 documents that go along with this manuscript B. Aleph is one. And he points out, by complete and accurate study and comparison of B with Aleph, He points out that over 3,000 places in the Gospels alone, they dispute one another. And yet they're held up as the Bible, the New Testament Bible, the Greek Bible, by the so-called scholars. Well, here B departs from Aleph, and the New International Version follows B, and the New American Standard Version follows it, and the New King James Version, footnotes. And all three of these versions go along with the removal of "and the Lord Jesus Christ." And so you have simply, he is saying to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, "Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father," period. But Paul says not only God our Father, but "and the Lord Jesus Christ." This is placing the Lord Jesus Christ on an equal footing with God the Father. This is his place. This is his title. This is his superior position among the sons of men. He is perfect God and perfect man, but perfect deity. He is equal with the Father. And it is rightfully his place to be at the Father's side and to have peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace and grace should be unto the church at Colossae, according to Colossians 1:2, from both members of the Trinity, the Father and the Son, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to take away his equality with the Father, to take away his deity, his place of sovereignty, is a great doctrinal error and a theological error, we believe. Well, let's take up three verses that remove Lord from Jesus or from Jesus Christ. If you have simply the word Jesus without Lord Jesus, that does take away the special deity name for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you take away Lord from Jesus Christ, that does the same thing. Well, let's take a look at some verses on this. There are three of them. The first one is Acts 9 and verse 28. I guess it's 29. Acts 9:29, where it says in the accurate King James Bible that you can trust, from the Greek text, Exodus Septus, "And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him." This is speaking of Paul the Apostle after his conversion, after he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus to kill Christians in Acts 9:29. Well, B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai Greek heretical manuscripts, remove the word Jesus from Lord. And so it's not the Lord Jesus, but simply in the name of the Lord. Now what this does, and by the way, the New International Version does the same, removes Jesus, just simply in the name of the Lord, which could be God the Father. The New American Standard Version eliminates Jesus and simply says Lord, and the New Berkeley Version also eliminates Jesus, simply says in the name of the Lord. Now, if you simply are speaking boldly in the name of the Lord, that could be the Lord Jehovah of the Old Testament. That could be simply God the Father. When you say you speak boldly in the name of the Lord, and then you connect Jesus with it, you are saying that Jesus is not a mere man. He is the Lord Jesus. He is deity. He is worthy of worship. He is worthy of honor. He's the one who performed miracles. He is the one who met Paul and formerly was called Saul on the road to Damascus as he was about to go to kill and persecute and torture Christians. It was the Lord Jesus that met him. And it was the Lord Jesus that told him what to do. And it was the Lord Jesus in whose name he spoke boldly and disputed the Grecians, so much so that they went about to slay him, to kill him, and to murder him. Now, B and Aleph have taken away Lord from Jesus. They just say, spoke in the name of the Lord. but not the Lord Jesus. And so the deity of Christ is lessened, is weakened, is questioned, because the identity of Lord with Jesus is removed by these heretical Greek manuscripts, followed like sheep by the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, the New Berkeley Version as well. Well, another example of the removal of Lord from Jesus or Jesus Christ, look at 1 Corinthians 5:5. 1 Corinthians 5:5, where Paul says, to deliver such an one, it may be 5:6, these verses are, the words in the verse type here sometimes are not too clear, either 5:5 or 5:6, if you bear with me. The type is a different type of type. It's from a computer, and sometimes these small computers do not clearly give us 5:5, I believe you'll find it. To deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Well, B takes away the word Jesus from Lord and simply says may be saved in the day of the Lord, which could refer to God the Father. And so Jesus and Lord, again, are severed one from the other. And who follows B? Now, Aleph doesn't follow B. Here's, again, a split between the Vatican manuscript and Aleph, the Sinai manuscript that Tischendorf found in a wastebasket. And B, the Vatican manuscript, was kept in the Vatican in Rome and was kept under lock and key, was not originally permitted for others to see or to behold or to take notes on for very many minutes. We have many tales of woe in regard to that. But here B and Aleph split, and Aleph goes along with the Textus Receptus that underlies the King James Bible and has Lord Jesus, but B, the Vatican manuscript, heretical as it was and as it is, has stripped Jesus from Lord and simply says, the day of the Lord, but not connecting Jesus with it. Well, NIV, the New International Version, follows this. The New American Standard Version follows it, and the New King James Version in the footnotes follow it as well. So we have simply that the Spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Well, the day of the Lord is certainly possibly a reference to the Old Testament day of Jehovah. But if you say in the day of the Lord Jesus, you're identifying Jesus with Lord. You're giving a deity title, and this version, these versions that will eliminate Jesus from Lord, strip away the connection and therefore strip the Lord Jesus of his pure deity and his clear deity in that verse, 1 Corinthians 5:5. All right, let's take a look at a third verse, 1 Corinthians 16:22. 1 Corinthians 16:22, where the King James Bible accurately renders the received Greek text, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Now, B and Aleph, the Sinai, the Vatican and Sinai manuscripts, eliminate the words Jesus Christ from this verse, and the New International Version eliminates Jesus Christ as well, the New American Standard Version and the New Berkeley Version eliminate Jesus Christ. And so they simply read, if any man love not the Lord, let him be anathema. My friend, the Lord could refer to Jehovah of the Old Testament. It could refer to Adonai of the Old Testament. It need not refer to the Lord Jesus Christ of the New Testament. And so, if any man love not the Lord, meaning maybe God the Father, not the Son, not the Lord Jesus Christ, but God the Father, let him be anathema. No, to take away the title Lord in 1 Corinthians 16:22 from Jesus Christ does strip him of his deity, takes away his divine title, and is in gross doctrinal theological error. And we believe that the King James Bible accurately reflects theological purity as far as the deity of Christ is concerned in these areas. Well, let's take a look at some other verses on Christology, the doctrine of Christ, theological errors in these versions. There are two verses on the removal of Jesus from Son or the Son of God. What do we mean by that? Well, here's Acts 3:26. If you look at that, you'll find the King James Bible accurate rendering from the received Greek text. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Now this is Acts 3:26. And what do B and Aleph both do? They remove to raise up his Son Jesus to his servant Jesus. Not son, but servant. I believe that this Greek word clearly is translatable and is translated as son and should not be servant in this area. But B and Aleph render it as servant, and so does the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, the New Berkeley Version. Now, what's the difference between the servant Jesus and his son Jesus? Well, the Lord God of heaven and earth may have many servants. I hope that if you know Christ as your Savior, if you're washed in the blood of Christ, if you've been saved and forgiven your sins by simple faith in Him, I hope that you are a servant of God. And the difference between a servant and a son in the sense of being a special divine person is great. The difference is great, is it not? And so we believe that this is a diminution, a lessening, a slackening off of the full deity and relationship of the sonship of Christ by saying not son Jesus, his son Jesus, but merely his servant Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is more than the servant of God, but he certainly is also the Son of God. And God having raised up his Son Jesus should be the reading and the rendering theologically, and the King James Bible has that rendering and that reading. All right, let's look at Matthew 8 and verse 29. Matthew 8:29, where the Textus Receptus and the Greek text is properly translated by the King James Bible, and behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Now, this is a statement made by demons, by satanic personages, and they're crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they say, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? B and Aleph take away the word Jesus from that text and simply say, thou Son of God. You don't know whether it's referring to Jesus or not. It's certainly not identifying Jesus as the Son of God. And the New International Version takes away Jesus as well. The New American Standard Version, the New Berkeley Version, following B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai heretical Greek manuscripts. And we believe that this is a diminution again of the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, and the Son of God. It's well enough to say simply, thou Son of God, but Jesus, connected with the Son of God, is what the demons were saying. They knew that Jesus was the Son of God. They did not accept him. They did not receive him as such, but they knew it, and they shouted it out. All right, let's go on to page 15. This is Dr. D.A. Waite speaking, director of the Bible for Today. Our address, simply Collingswood, New Jersey. Or you can call us, 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. If you have questions or comments, we'd like to hear from you. Write us for our brochure number 1, 701 Titles Defending the King James Bible, or our catalog, or our Dean Burgon News, or the Dean Burgon Articles of Faith. We'd be glad to send you our material or the yearly Bible reading schedule if you'd like to receive that, to read the Scriptures through 85 verses per day with us. And that will take you through the entire Bible in 1 year. All right, we're on page 15 of the Theological Errors of the Version. Theological Errors of the Versions. It's number 1845. Write us or call us. We'll tell you how you may receive your copy of this, Theological Errors of the Versions, so that you can follow along with us. We're not trying to hide anything. We're trying to bring it out into the open of that which we have. All right, let's go to 9 verses now, the removal of Jesus from Christ. Jesus from Christ. As you may know, there are many cults and sects, even today, that remove Jesus and Christ, making two personages out of him. The Christian Science group, for example, does that today. Many of the modernist, liberal, apostate groups and churches do that today. They say Jesus is the man, just simply the human being, but Christ is the divine spirit that came upon Jesus at his baptism, and so on. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is one person. They're heretical in this, and B. and Aleph, the Vatican Sinai manuscripts, were of this persuasion. They believed in adoptionism, that Jesus Christ was not deity and was just simply adopted by the Father at his baptism. And this is certainly heretical and in error. And so we'll take up the Jesus and Christ. Look at Romans 15 and verse 8. Romans 15 and verse 8, where we say and see in the King James Bible, accurately rendering the received text, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." Now, B. and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai Greek manuscripts, remove Jesus from this verse, Romans 16:8. And they simply say, "I say that Christ was a minister of the circumcision." Well, he's not simply Christ, he's Jesus Christ. The New International Version removes Jesus as well from this. The New American Standard Version does the same. And the New Berkeley Version also removes Jesus from Christ. What does it do when you take away Jesus Christ as a title, as one unifying person? It simply says that there are two personages here and not one. And to simply say that Christ was a minister without Jesus Christ takes away the unity of his person, takes away the deity of Jesus, and puts him in a case, in a class by himself, and simply says Christ was a minister. No, the full title is what should be there in this verse. Well, let's take a look at another verse, 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 1. Where the King James accurately translates our received Greek text, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? And are not ye my work in the Lord?" 1 Corinthians 9:1. He's talking to the Corinthian Christian church there. And he is saying that I have seen Jesus Christ, and B. and Aleph take away the word Christ, and simply put that I have seen Jesus. Here's a separation of his person, and the New International Version follows this. The New American Standard Version does, and the New Berkeley. Theological errors in the versions. Jesus Christ is one person. And it's not just that have I not seen Jesus. That could be any Jesus. But Jesus Christ, deity and humanity combined. Jesus being the word for Jesus, Savior, and Christ being the word Messiah in the Hebrew, the Anointed One, Christos. And he is both Jesus and Christ. Have I not seen Jesus Christ? And his full title gives him a unity of person, a deity of person, and an identification of the person that was there and that was seen by Paul, Jesus Christ. And the Spirit Christology people of Vatican and Sinai manuscripts, the B and Aleph, the adoptionist people who deny the unity in that person, take away and strip him of his title in that verse. Let's take a look at another verse. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5:18, where the King James Bible accurately translates our received Greek text, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us to us the ministry of reconciliation. Well, B and Aleph come along and take away the word Jesus. Simply say, reconciled us to himself by Christ. No, Jesus Christ should be the complete title. The New International Version takes away Jesus there. The New American Standard Version, the New Berkeley Version, and simply renders it Christ. He's Jesus Christ, and we must use his entire title. He is one person. He is perfect God and perfect man, and we must keep that title and should not succumb to the theological errors of the versions that have taken away that unifying title from him. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. Ask for number 1845. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible. So long until next week. For Today of the Air, heard each week at this same time and over this same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 211. 211 weeks of broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence in the King James Bible. Our phone number, 609-854-4452, 609-854-4452. Call us if you have questions or comments. We'd like to hear from you. We're talking about number 1845, Bible for Today, number 1845, Theological Errors in the Versions, the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, the New King James Version in the footnotes especially, and the New Berkeley Version. If you'd like more information about our materials, our Bible for Today news report, write us. We'd be glad to send it to you. Or Why the Bible for Today, our doctrinal statement, or the Dean Burgon Society Articles of Faith and Organization, the Dean Burgon News. Simply write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us, 609-854-4452. If you'd like your copy of The Theological Errors of the Versions, number 1845, write us or call us, and we'll tell you how you may receive it. We're on page 15. We're talking about the deity of Christ. Dr. Thomas, who is John MacArthur's man at his seminary, Master's Theological Seminary in California, said on one occasion and wrote in an article in 1990, January and February issue of the Masterpiece magazine, "No major doctrine of Scripture is affected by a variant reading." No major doctrine of Scripture. Why, friend, this is absolutely false. The theological errors of the variant readings abound. We've given 158 examples and passages in this number 1845, The Theological Errors in the Versions. There are a total of 356 doctrinal passages that are affected by these various versions and the variant readings. Well, the deity of Christ certainly is a major doctrine of Scripture. We're talking about the removal of Jesus from Christ. 9 verses. We took up 3 of them last broadcast. Now we're going to continue in Colossians 1:28. We read from the King James Bible, accurately translated and received Greek text, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, B and Aleph, those two heretical Greek documents from Egypt, they're loaded with Egyptian heresies of adoptionism, of spirit Christology, of Arianism, denying the deity of Christ, the bodily resurrection of Christ, the Trinity, and so on. B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai manuscripts, which are worshipped by the translators or paraphrasers of these versions, removes the word Jesus from Colossians 1:28. So we do not have perfect in Christ Jesus, but simply every man perfect in Christ. The New International Version does the same, leaves off Jesus. The New American Standard Version, New Berkeley Version, those three versions drop off the word, the title, Jesus. The significance of this is that there is a bifurcation, a splitting apart, a dualism, a change, a trying to make Jesus and Christ two separate persons. And this is the essence of spirit Christology or adoptionism. No, my friend, Christ Jesus is one person. He is not two people, Christ, who is the divine principle, and Jesus, who is the man. No, Christ Jesus, God and man in perfect accord, perfect God and perfect man. Well, here's Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, another verse, where Jesus and Christ in these new versions are split apart. The King James Bible accurately translates the received Greek text, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Again, the B and Aleph manuscripts, Greek manuscripts from Egypt, the Vatican and Sinai manuscripts, remove the total title, Christ Jesus, and take away Christ and simply say Jesus. Not the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, but simply the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus. As if to take away his deity, his anointing, as Christ, simply Jesus. The New International Version follows, the New American Standard Version, the New Berkeley Version, slavishly following as sheep the B and Aleph rendering or rending of the truth. Vatican and Sinai manuscripts, only two of a total of perhaps 45 small documents, a few of their allies and cohorts, against 5,210 documents and Greek manuscripts which we have that favor the received text that underlies the King James Bible. And this is the terrific change that the B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai manuscripts make throughout. And we should not follow them. And yet these so-called scholars worship the ground on which Vatican and Sinai are walking. And then look at another verse, 1 Peter 5:10, a similar phenomenon where the King James Bible accurately translates the received Greek text. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Well, in 1 Peter 5:10, the B and Aleph manuscripts, the Vatican and Sinai Greek manuscripts, remove again the perfect title, Christ Jesus, and take away, this time, Jesus, and simply say he's called us unto eternal glory by Christ. Not Jesus. Not Christ Jesus. No, just simply Christ. taking away the unity of the name Christ Jesus. We believe that this is against the perfect and true deity of our Savior by removing the twofold name for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, in 1 Peter 5:14, King James Bible again accurately rendering the received Greek text, greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be unto you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, B takes away one of the titles there in 1 Peter 5:14, takes away the word Jesus. Aleph now keeps both titles, Christ Jesus, but here B, which is the greater of the two and the great savior of all manuscripts, according to Heretic Hort of the Westcott and Hort team. So B is taken as over against Aleph and followed by the translators or the paraphrasers in the New International Version. You don't have Christ Jesus in 1 Peter 5:14, just simply Christ. Jesus is gone. So with the New American Standard Version, so with the New Berkeley Version. And so here again is a splitting apart of the divine name, Christ Jesus, and simply saying all who are in Christ. Jesus, the man, is denied, according to adoptionism, as espoused by Vatican Manuscript B in the Egyptian cults and heresies that abounded in those early centuries of the Christian Church. So here again, a breaking down of the name Christ Jesus. All right, another example, and for Revelation 1 and verse 9, we're talking from BFT number 1845, Theological Errors in the Versions. We're pointing out to you how the Greek variants do affect major doctrines of Scripture. We're talking about the deity of Christ. We're talking about removing Jesus from Christ. And in Revelation 1:9, the King James Bible again accurately renders the received Greek text, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. All right, there's no B in Revelation. The Vatican manuscript is defective, only Aleph, and so Aleph removes in two cases, two instances, Christ from the title Jesus Christ in Revelation 1:9. The testimony of Jesus Christ, simply the testimony of Jesus. The kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, simply the kingdom and patience of Jesus. And so here again, we find in Revelation 1:9 the taking away, the removal of the divine names Jesus Christ, both in this verse. And when you have simply the patience of Jesus, he may be just simply a person, which he is in the Christian Science heresy, which he is in the modernist apostate Protestantism heresy, and in this adoptionism heresy of the Egyptian cults that Aleph represents. And so Jesus is simply the man, and he's not Jesus Christ, completely denying that Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed one of God, taking away, therefore, his solid and true and pure deity. Well, a final example of this is Revelation 12 and verse 17. Revelation 12, 17, the King James Bible again accurately renders the received Greek text, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, the Aleph manuscript, which is the Sinai Greek manuscript, there's no Vatican or B in Revelation, you remember, takes away again the title Christ. It's not the testimony of Jesus Christ, but simply the testimony of Jesus. No longer the Messiah, no longer he that should be awaited and accepted as the Messiah of the Jews, the anointed one of God, but simply Jesus, the human, and that's all. In line with the adoptionist heresy of the Aleph manuscript and the Egyptian critics and heretics of the day. Well, who follows them in this? All four of these versions that we've been following. The New International Version takes away Christ from his title in Revelation 12:17. The New American Standard Version takes away Christ from his title. The New King James Version footnotes take away Christ from his title. And the New Berkeley Version also follows taking away Christ from his title. Well, let's move on. We're talking about the theological errors of the versions, based as they are upon the faulty and false and fake and heretical and doctrinally unsound Vatican and Sinai manuscripts, B and Aleph, which are worshipped by the version paraphrasers. Sad to say, indeed. B and Aleph, we remind you, contradict one another in the Gospels alone over 3,000 times. Over 3,000 times contradicting one another in the Gospels alone, according to Herman Hoskier, Codex B, and its allies. Available from the Bible for Today. Write us or call us. We'll tell you how you may receive your copy. Dr. D.A. Waite speaking, talking about the theological errors of the versions here in Collingswood, New Jersey. We're glad you're listening to us. Our phone number is 609-854-4452. Did you get it? 609-854-4452. Write us for brochure number one. We have over 701 titles we carry in our over 2,000 titles. We have over 701 titles defending the King James Bible, defending the received Greek text, defending the Masoretic traditional Hebrew text, and exposing the errors of the modern versions. Write us for it, or call us. We'll send it to you. Brochure number one, 701 titles defending the King James Bible and the underlying Hebrew and Greek text. These titles are either books, booklets, pamphlets, cassette audio tapes, audio visual VCRs, and so on. All right, let's take another category. Here's the removal of Christ from the Son of God and Savior. Removing Christ from the Son of God and Savior. There are two verses we'd like to mention here in this connection. The first is Luke 4:41. Luke 4:41, where the King James Bible again accurately translates the received Greek text. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. All right, in the first instance there, Thou art Christ, the Son of God, the omission of the word Christ from both B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai manuscripts, so that the demons, the devils, simply are crying out saying, Thou art the Son of God, but not Christ, the Son of God. And the New International Version does the same. The New American Standard Version, the New King James footnotes, and the New Berkeley Version all remove Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Messiah of the Hebrew language, from the Son of God. And so the demons, the devils, don't recognize him as Christ, the Son of God, but simply, Thou art the Son of God. We believe this is a diminution and a dimming, and if not a denial, of the deity of our Savior, the Messiahship of our Savior, and it is not to be. And it is wrong, it is an error, theologically. Well, there's a second verse we'd like to mention, that is John chapter 4 and verse 42. John 4:42, where the King James Bible accurately renders the received Greek text, and said unto the woman, the Lord Jesus speaking, or rather the women and the men of Samaria speaking. This is the Lord Jesus at the well, you remember, the woman at the well in John 4. And said unto the woman, that is these men of Samaria, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. All right, B and Aleph, remove the Christ. The New International Version removes the Christ. The New American Standard Version removes the Christ from John 4:42. The New King James Version footnotes remove the Christ. The New Berkeley Version removes the Christ. And so all it is this is indeed the Savior of the world. But not the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One of God. His title, his Messiahship, is taken away and stripped from him in these versions, following as they are, slavishly, B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai manuscripts. Well, let's go to a final division of our question of Christology and the theological errors of the versions, and the errors of removing Christ from Lord Jesus. Removing Christ from Lord Jesus. 11 verses on that we'd like to point out to you. 11 verses, removing Christ from Lord Jesus. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 11, the King James Bible accurately renders the received Greek text, and we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. That is, the Gentiles will be saved even as the Jews even as the Gentiles. But B and Aleph remove Christ, the title of Christ, from the Lord Jesus Christ, through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and simply have through the grace of the Lord Jesus. The New International Version also removes Christ, the New American Standard Version, New King James Version footnotes, and the New Berkeley Version. And so they take away that the Lord Jesus is the Messiah, Christ, the one whom God promised to come, the Anointed One of God. And it's entirely an error, we believe, theologically. We believe his entire title should be included in Acts 15:11, not simply Lord Jesus, but Lord Jesus Christ. Well, another example out of the 11, a second example, Acts 16:31. And they said, this is Paul and Silas who are replying to the Philippian jailer. And they said, as the King James Bible accurately renders the received Greek text, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Well, the Vatican and Sinai Greek manuscripts, B and Aleph, remove the word Christ from Acts 16:31, and so does the New International Version and the New American Standard Version, the New Berkeley Version, and simply have believe on the Lord Jesus, but not Christ. No, we believe his entire title should be present and accounted for without any question or any shadow of a doubt. It should be there, and we should say it, and we should speak it, and we should be glad that it is the Lord Jesus Christ. His full Messiahship should not be doubted or denied. This is a major doctrine, we believe, of Scripture. A third verse, removing Christ from Lord Jesus, is Acts 20:21. Acts 20:21, where the King James Bible accurately renders again the received Greek text, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, B, the Vatican manuscript, omits Christ. Aleph keeps it in, but B is to be followed, you remember. That's the one that follows. Everyone follows B if there's a difference between B and Aleph, and there are some 3,000 differences in the Gospels alone between B and Aleph, the Vatican and the Sinai manuscripts. But the New International Version, the New Berkeley Version, also remove in Acts 20:21 the word Christ. And so it's faith toward our Lord Jesus, but not Christ. He's not the Messiah. He's not the one expected, the one that God said would be anointed and come into the world. The denial of the Messiahship of our Savior. A fourth example of this is 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians 5:4, where we read, the King James accurately renders it, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together and in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is the judgment that Paul has meted out to this sinner, this incestuous person who has had his own father's wife in sexual relations, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians 5:1. And in both instances where the Lord Jesus Christ occurs, B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai heretical manuscripts, remove Christ. The first part of verse 5:4 of 1 Corinthians and the last part. And so it's simply in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the power of the Lord Jesus, but the Messiahship is denied. Well, the NIV removes Christ both times, and the New American Standard Version and the New Berkeley Version take away the Messiahship of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in 1 Corinthians 5:4. Well, there's another verse, the fifth verse here as well. It's 1 Corinthians 16:23, where B and Aleph remove Christ from Lord Jesus. The King James accurately renders the received Greek text, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." And the New International Version follows, New American Standard Version, New Berkeley Version, removing Christ, simply the grace of our Lord Jesus, but he's not the Messiah. The Messiahship, the Christos, the Anointed One, is gone from 1 Corinthians 16:23. Well, let's take a look at another verse, a sixth verse, 2 Corinthians 11:31. 2 Corinthians 11:31. Where the King James accurately renders the received Greek text, "The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not." B and Aleph both combine and remove the word Christ. Simply, our Lord Jesus, the Messiahship of Christ, is again denied and doubted and removed from that verse. The New American Standard Version, the New International Version, the New Berkeley Version follow slavishly. The B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai combine and dual, dynamic duo, as we call them, and remove the Messiahship of our Savior from 2 Corinthians 11:31. Well, here's another verse, a seventh one, 1 Thessalonians 3:11, where the King James accurately renders the received Greek text, "Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you." B and Aleph removes again the word Christ from the title, the Lord Jesus Christ, taking away his Messiahship once again. The New International Version follows, the New American Standard Version, and the New Berkeley Version, all three follow like ducks in a row and remove the Lord Jesus Christ, the title Christ. His Messiahship is gone from 1 Thessalonians 3:11. The same is true in 1 Thessalonians 3:13, where the King James Bible accurately renders the received Greek text, "To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Well, B and Aleph remove again the word Christ, simply the Lord Jesus, take away his Messiahship. He's not the anointed of God. In 1 Thessalonians 3:13, the New International Version follows, the New American Standard Version, the New Berkeley Version, all remove the Messiahship of our Savior in that verse. Well, there's a ninth verse, 2 Thessalonians 1:8, King James Bible accurately rendering the received Greek text, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." B, in this instance, removes, or the Vatican manuscript removes the word Christ, takes it right away, removes it. Now, Aleph keeps it in, but B is to be followed, and so the New International Version removes it, the New American Standard Version, and the New Berkeley Version, where B and Aleph contradict one another. B is followed, the Vatican is followed, and Christ, the Messiahship of our Savior in 2 Thessalonians 1:8, in this tremendously important verse on judgment, fiery, flaming, fiery judgment, Christ, the Messiah, is gone. Another verse, the tenth verse, 2 Thessalonians 1:12, where this phenomenon occurs. Then the King James Bible accurately renders the received Greek text, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first instance of that title, Christ is removed by B and Aleph, both, and is followed by the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, the New Berkeley Version. All three take away the Messiahship simply in the name of our Lord Jesus. In that first instance, in 1 Thessalonians 1:12, taking away, as I say, his Messiahship. A final verse, 11th one, Revelation 22:21, where the King James Bible accurately renders this received Greek text, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That last verse in Revelation, no Vatican in Revelation, but Aleph removes again Christ from his title, followed by the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, the New Berkeley, not the New Berkeley, but New American Standard and the New International. And so the Messiahship of Christ in the last verse of our Bible is gone, just the grace of our Lord Jesus. He is the Messiah. He is the Anointed One. And we should have it where it belongs. Well, this concludes our number 1845, The Theological Errors in the Versions. Write us for it. Bible for Today in Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us at 609-854-4452. We want you to have it. The number is number 1845, Theological Errors in the Versions. Well, this ends the series that we've had on the theological errors in this weekly broadcast. We hope that next broadcast we might be able to begin a new and afresh, a different topic, taking an answer to one of the attacks on the King James Bible, a current attack by a prominent teacher and professor, Dr. Ernest Pickering, who has been attacking the King James Bible, and we want to answer his attack and give you evidence for our King James Bible and the received text that underlies it. So we're beginning next week. Tune in and listen to our defense against Dr. Ernest Pickering of the King James Bible, standing for it and upholding it as we do on this broadcast. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us at 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible. So long until next week. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at this same time and over this same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 212. 212 weeks of broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're standing and building Bible confidence. Confidence in our King James Bible. Our phone number, 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. Call us if you have questions or comments. We'd like to hear from you. Write us or call us for our Bible for Today news report, or our Dean Burgon news, or Bible for Today brochure number 1, 701 titles on the text. And this particular broadcast, we begin a series on an answer of a very prevalent and popular view concerning Bible texts and translations. This is a refutation and an answer of Dr. Ernest Pickering. Dr. Ernest Pickering is the president of Central Baptist Theological Seminary, the pastor of the Fourth Baptist Church there in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and he has written a recent booklet entitled It's called Questions and Answers about Bible Translations. And I have answered that. I have answered that in a tape, and the tape is available. It's number 2040/1 and 2, two cassettes, approximately 2.5 hours, I believe, totally, of answer to this particular Bible translation booklet. It's questions and answers, and the reason we're going to take it up on the broadcast for the next few weeks is that this type of report and this type of answer is the thing that is given currently against those of us who hold to the superiority of the King James Bible. And I do not believe that these reports and these studies should go unanswered. And I'm starting here with Dr. Ernest Pickering's work and book on Bible texts and translations because I believe it is perhaps the most important one to start with. We have others that we're hoping to get to down the line in our broadcasting. But in answering others, it will tell you what we believe concerning the superiority of the King James Bible. I have begun to put this in writing, the tape that we answered Dr. Pickering on, but I'm going to begin the introductory remarks, and I call it number 2040P, which is for pages or paper. The cassettes are 2040/1 and 2, two cassettes, but this is the paper or the production that is written, and so we call it number 2040P. Write us or call us, and we'll tell you how you may receive your copy of either the cassette tape answer or the words written down on paper. I'm going to give some introductory remarks. First of all, I'm answering a booklet put out by Dr. Ernest D. Pickering, pastor of the Fourth Baptist Church, as we've said, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and president of the Central Baptist Seminary. The booklet is entitled, as we said before, Questions and Answers about Bible Translations. By way of preface, I'd like to simply say that I have a total of 73 points and items that I'd like to make on this 14-page booklet. That's what it is. Dr. Pickering's booklet is 14 pages in all. 73 comments, I'd like to say, in brief fashion, some, of course, briefer than others. By way of background, just let me say that I've known Dr. Pickering for many years. We were together at Dallas Theological Seminary from the beginning of our class in 1948 until we graduated in 1952. And I went on for a Doctor of Theology degree and got it in 1955. Dr. Pickering also went on and got his Doctor of Theology degree at Dallas Seminary. I don't know the year. So Ernie and I, as I call him, we've known each other, and we went to every single class at Dallas Seminary for 4 solid years, or almost every class, except for our electives. He had certain electives that he took, and I had others. But this, of course, is for 4 years, at least, we were classmates, and we've known each other ever since 1948. It's a number of years, isn't it? Dr. Pickering is also a separatist, as I am. He's a fundamentalist, as I am. And we would certainly agree on many things. He's a Baptist, as I am. But there are things in regards to the Bible translations that we differ with one another, and we differ very sharply. And I'd like to, with all due respect to Dr. Pickering, differ with him in answer to these 73 points and comments. I'm ready to give you the page numbers of his booklet and then the comment numbers, so that if you'd like to get his entire transcript of the entire 14 pages, so that you could follow me in my objectives and my objections also in what he says, you may get this also. For extra copies of this particular analysis, please send a gift to the Bible for Today. We'll tell you how you may receive it if you write us or call us at 609-854-4452. For extra tapes, they are two cassettes, and as we've said before, it's number 2040/1 and 2. It's two cassette tapes in this overall picture. So we begin now our comments, 73 items to comment upon, on Dr. Ernest Pickering's booklet on Bible texts and translations. On page 1, we have comments number 1 through 6 on his page 1. Comment number 1, Dr. Pickering mentions that he was asked questions by the lay people in the Fourth Baptist Church, of which he's the pastor in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And that's the reason he's writing a pamphlet, and certainly that's commendable. Any pastor should be able to explain to his people the reasons for his beliefs. Certainly upon Bible translations, it's a very important subject. We should be able to answer the people or any pastor on this issue. All right, comment number 2 on page 1 of Dr. Pickering's material, by the way. This tape that we're going to do at the beginning and so on, the date of the tape that we did this original taping of 2040/1 and 2 was August the 3rd, 1991. That's the title, the tape date, that we began this tape. And I made it in Mountain Grove, Missouri. We had a meeting there on Sunday evening. And we were there on other business as well in Missouri, and that's where this original tape originated and was made. And I just wanted to mention that before the answer is made and while the answer is being made. All right, point number 2 out of 73. On page 1, Dr. Pickering says there are good men who hold different views on the subject addressed. Now, that certainly is true. Some good men, separated men, fundamental men, Baptist men holding different views on subjects of Bible translations. And Dr. Pickering and I are two men that would hold differing views. And I trust that both of us would be considered as good men and sound men and biblical men. Certainly we're both Baptists. All right, comment number 3 out of a total of 73, also on page 1 of Dr. Pickering's booklet. He says it is not the purpose of this document to give an exhaustive or technical treatment of the subject. Well, that's understandable. Certainly in 14 short pages or of different size, you cannot give an exhaustive treatment and yet to explain to his people in general terms and not too technical. I think that's commendable. It's a commendable objective and object, and nothing's wrong with that. All right, point number 4. Out of 73, Dr. Pickering asks the question, what is a Bible translation? He says it is a rendering of another language of the message contained in the original Greek and Hebrew languages in which the Bible was written. Well, I have a problem with that. It's not the rendering in another language of the message contained in the original Greek and Hebrew languages, but the words contained in the original Greek and Hebrew language. Now, this is an important point, not simply message. We believe in verbal inspiration. That is, the very words were inspired by God, were breathed out by God. Theos and pneustos, thel pneustos. Theopneustia as the title of God's breathing out of his very words, inspired of God, as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, God breathing it out, and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and so on. So the very words were inspired by God. And to me, verbal inspiration demands verbal translation. That is, the meaning of the words themselves must be given, not simply the message. The words themselves, not simply the message. Now, this can be a general term. The message, which is the general idea, or which is the thought, that can be considered as a message, just simply the thought. And I disbelieve this completely. What we're after in a Bible translation, in my judgment, any of these new versions do not give us this, but what I'm after is a transfer from Greek into English and from Hebrew into English or into Spanish or French or German or Portuguese or some other language of the very words of the living God. That's what I'm after. My friend, that's what translation is. Not simply the message, which could be the thought, and not specifically the message, or certainly not the words. And so I differ with this as to his definition of what Bible translation really is. All right, comment number 5 out of 73. The question that he asks is, are all translations of the Bible reliable? Now, I ask these questions because he asks a total of 24 questions and then he answers them. So I'm answering these questions, and I ask sometimes the questions, but this is his question number 2. Are all translations of the Bible reliable? That's his question. Dr. Pickering's question. Well, my comment number 5 is no. Some are not reliable. Perhaps they are done by incompetent people or by theologically unsound people and so forth and so on. Well, this is correct. Some are not reliable. The fact of the matter is, I believe that all the so-called translations or versions of the Bible other than the King James Bible are not reliable. That's my belief. I do not believe that any of those apart from our King James Bible in this present era in which we live, 1991, as this tape is being made and this broadcast is being given, none of them are reliable except the King James Bible. As you know, this broadcast stands in defense of the texts and the traditional Bible texts, and we believe the traditional English text is the King James Bible, and we're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible. And so we believe that none of them are reliable in the exact sense, but except the King James Bible. When we get into the reasons a little bit later, when we answer different questions and just some are not reliable, I believe all are not reliable. He mentions a New World translation of Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, that's not reliable, certainly. Not only because of faulty translating, but also faulty Greek and Hebrew texts. But you know, the Jehovah's Witness Bible and the New World Translation is the same identical New Testament text as is used by the New American Standard Version, the New International Version, the New English Version, the Living Version, and so on. Good News for Modern Man, also today's English Version. All these modern versions, the Revised Standard Version, the New Revised Standard Version, and so on, the same Greek text exactly is used and is followed. Well, Dr. Pickering asks a third question. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today. Our address is Collingswood, New Jersey. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Our phone numbers, 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. We're answering Dr. Pickering's booklet, Questions and Answers About Bible Translations. It's tape number 2080. If you're interested in getting the answer on two cassettes, 2040, /1 and 2, write us or call us. We'll tell you how you may receive your entire tape answer and response to this booklet. And by the way, if any of you would care to have any broadcasts, tapes that we have and broadcasts that perhaps you've missed or perhaps you'd like a copy of by tape, write us or call us and we'll tell you how you may receive your copy of the radio tapes as well. Well, Dr. Pickering asks a third question. Is there a difference between a translation and a paraphrase? On my comment number 6, still on page 1 of Dr. Pickering's book, the very bottom of the page, is my comment is yes, there is a difference between a translation and a paraphrase. A translation is the result of a serious attempt to render the exact meaning of the original Greek and Hebrew into a current language. Now, that's what a translation is. The exact meaning, that's what he says. Well, that's what he says. A serious attempt to render the exact meaning of the original Greek and Hebrew into a current language. Well, instead of rendering the exact meaning of the original meaning and original language of Greek and Hebrew, I believe we should render the exact words of the original Greek and Hebrew into a current language. Again, I object to the word meaning. as I objected to the word message earlier. The word message can be thoughts only to be placed into your own words. The word meaning can also be thoughts only to be placed into your own words. And so you can have a dynamic equivalency, as the New International Version has claimed that it is done, or the meaning they claim is put into the English language by adding words or subtracting words or changing words. This is what dynamic equivalency is. And so they claim there's a meaning there, but it is not the words of Scripture. It is not the words of God. Now, I realize there are idioms occasionally in the Hebrew and in the Greek, but that's possible. But the King James Version has used, where possible, a verbal equivalence. That is, their words, where possible, are brought from Hebrew into English and Greek into English. That's the verbal equivalence, and that's what they've used. They've used a formal equivalence, the very forms where possible. Idioms, of course, being the exceptions here and there, but they've used the very forms of the Hebrew to English, the very forms of the Greek to English. If it's a noun, they bring it over as a noun. If it's a verb, they bring it over as a verb, and so on. So I would wonder about the exact meaning of the exact words should be brought over from one language to another. Hebrew to English, Greek to English, Spanish to French, or German, or Portuguese, or Russian, or any other language or version of the Bible. So I would contest and differ with Dr. Pickering on the word meaning. We do not translate meanings. We translate words. And in translating words, if we come up with a meaning into the English language, so be it. But we're translating words. We're translating not a message. We're translating words again. And we must realize that it's words, and verbal translation must be uppermost in what we do. All right, now on page 2 of Dr. Pickering's questions and answers about Bible translations. Page 2, I'll have comments number 7 through 11. The top of page 2, it says, the paraphrase takes greater liberty with the text, and the author often expands the thought beyond the meaning of the original. Plus, he says, the paraphrase is the least of many instances and becomes more of a commentary, at least in many instances, becomes more of a commentary than a translation. An example of a paraphrase would be Good News for Modern Man. That's what Dr. Pickering says. But also, an example of a paraphrase would be the Living Version, certainly. And also, to a certain extent, the New King James Version, especially in the footnotes and even in the text. And the New American Standard Version, to a certain extent, paraphrase. And the New International Version, to a greater extent, paraphrase. Now, let me simply comment that I made a study of, we've mentioned on these broadcasts before, we've made a study of these various versions that are used by fundamentalist Bible-believing Christians. And the New King James Version, for example, compared with the King James and the underlying Hebrew and Greek texts, that's, by the way, number 1442. It's available, many pages in length. But on page 7, Roman numeral 7, in the introduction, I give a listing of different types of dynamic equivalency in paraphrase, whereby things are added, things are changed, or things are omitted. In other words, additions, subtractions, and changes. There are the three ways that they alter the Word of God. And I give a total of 2,034 examples of how the New King James Version has given us a paraphrase. 2,034 examples. Now, that's not a great number, as we find in the, not as great a number, at least, as we find in the New American Standard Version, for example. I've also made a study on the New American Standard Version compared with the New King James Version, and the underlying Hebrew and Greek texts. And this also is a sizable document. It's number 1494. It's available from the Bible for Today. You can write us or you can call us, 609-854-4452. We'll tell you just how you can get your copy of it. And on page Roman numeral 17, page 17, at the beginning, you'll find a listing, the listing of the number of paraphrases we found in the New American Standard Version, the things that are added, things that are changed, things that are omitted, addition, subtraction, and change, all of which would be classified as paraphrase. And we come up with 4,232 examples in this document, 4,232 examples of paraphrase in the NASV, the New American Standard Version. And so to a greater extent than the New King James Version, 2,000 as opposed to over 4,000, we have the paraphrase, at least in the NASV, and it's more abundant, certainly, than the New King James. Now we go to the New International Version, the NIV, which I understand Dr. Pickering has used in his church, the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Toledo, Ohio. He preached from it. He had his deacons buy it. He had church members buy it. He urged people to use it. The NIV, we made a study of it, over 284 large pages. Number 1749P, that's the name of it. We've analyzed this version, the New International Version. We have a total of paraphrases, examples given, and many other more we could have put on there, but 6,653 reasons. 6,653 reasons why the NIV is not the Word of God in English. Additions, subtractions, and changes, again, by definition, and paraphrases. That's found on Roman numeral 17 in the study, which is available again through the Bible for Today, if you want it. Get your copy, write us, or call us at 609-854-4452. We'll tell you how you may receive your copy of the analysis of the New International Version. We call it Weighed in the Balances and Found Wanting. 6,653 reasons why the NIV is not the Word of God in English. Well, we go on to point number 8 in reply to Dr. Pickering's booklet on Bible translations. It is true to say that the paraphrase takes many liberties with the text, and Good News for Modern Man would be considered a paraphrase. But there are elements or examples of paraphrase to a greater or lesser extent in the other versions used by fundamentalists and Bible-believing Christians in the NKJV, for example, the New King James Version, over 2,000 examples of paraphrase. New American Standard, over 4,000 examples, and so on. And on Roman numeral page 17, the beginning there, you'll find a listing of the number of paraphrases found in the New American Standard, and we've mentioned that, the things added, the things changed, the things that are omitted, addition, subtraction, and change. All of them are paraphrases. We've been over that, and we've mentioned that. And this, of course, is very important to see, as we have noted. All right, let's go to question number 4, Dr. Pickering's question number 4. He asks, are there any translations that are inspired by God and thus without error? Well, my ninth comment is, he says, no, all translations are man-made. I would say that is correct. They are man-made and so on. And so there's no translation that has been directly inspired by God. God inspired, in other words, the words of the translation. But God did inspire. God did breathe out the very words of the Hebrew Old Testament and also a few Aramaic verses in the Old Testament. He did inspire or breathe out the very words of the New Testament, the Greek New Testament. But he did not breathe out or inspire any of the words in any translation in the world. Whether it's the English translation, whether it's the Spanish translation, the French translation, the Italian, the Slovakian, the Russian, the Chinese, the Japanese. No translation is inspired by God, given by inspiration. God breathed, word for word, given as he did in the Hebrew, in the Aramaic, and in the Greek language. Translation is a translation. That which God has inspired must be only at the level of the Hebrew text and the Greek text, as God gave them to us. That was God's breath. God breathed on the very words and breathed out the very words. In other words, God only spoke Hebrew and Greek. That's all that God spoke. He spoke out those words. Those were inspired. God breathed. Inspiration means God breathing. God breathing. And it was given by God's breath. That is a revelation. When God breathes out those very words by, as Moses wrote them down, and David in the Old Testament, and Samuel, and in the New Testament, Paul, and John, and James, and so on. Translations are not to be confused with revelation. Revelation is God's original Hebrew and Greek text he gave to us. Translation is the taking of those Hebrew and Greek original, inspired, inerrant, infallible language texts, and putting them into English, into Spanish, French, or another language. So that's a distinction that should be made and must be made. Now, there are some people that refer to Bible translations as inspired, in the sense of being God-breathed, the very words that come out of the mouth of God. No. In fact, the position of Peter Ruckman, Dr. Peter Ruckman of Pensacola, Florida area, is in error on this. He believes that the English text of the King James Bible was given by inspiration. He believes that the Holy Spirit of God came down in 1611 and breathed out the very English words, even the italic type that the King James Bible has, and that it's an exact revelation separate from Hebrew, separate from Greek, and he says the English even corrects the Hebrew and the Greek. This is serious error. This is heresy as far as we are concerned in the Bible for today and in the Dean Burgon Society. And I believe this is the question that Dr. Pickering is referring to, and this is the issue that he's dealing with when he says, are any language translations inspired by God? In other words, are the very words given in English? My friend, God gave his word in Hebrew and in Greek. He did not give an additional revelation in English, nor in Spanish, nor in French, nor any other language. We must realize that the scripture being inspired or God-breathed only refers to the original language texts which God used, Hebrew in the Old Testament, a little Aramaic, very few verses, and, of course, in the New Testament Greek. And so this is a distinction that must be made very clearly. All right, comment number 10. He says on page 2, the following statement is typical of the position of some and therefore would be incorrect. He quotes from the King James Contender, April 1980. We're going to get into this next time. It's a very important issue. It's on the issue of Bible translation versus Bible revelation, and we'll take that up next time. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," that includes you, my friend, "should not perish," should not go to hell, "but have everlasting life." Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call 609-854-4452. 609-854-4452. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible. So long until next week.